Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Word of Life broadcast with Professor John Anoche is made possible by partners of John Anoche Ministries. Still to come, a word of life with Prophet John Anoche.
If the Gentile church are not part of the tribes, they are not part of the kingdom. This is a very bold statement. If the Gentile church, the saint of God, whom emanated from the Gentile world, are not adopted into any tribe of the 12, they are not part of the kingdom. And that is the reason why all Gentile church, wherever you are, India, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Ghana, Africa, anywhere, you are a Jewish, a spiritual Jewish. It's in the way. That is what the Bible says. We call him Abba Father. Why? He adopted the Gentile church. So if you believe, you have become not just a physical Jewish, but a spiritual one.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are blessed. Amen. You are blessed. I say you are blessed. We give God praise. Today I would want to continue where I pray that today the Lord will just lead us with everything that we have on the principle of tithe. The principle of tithe as an act of faith. Okay? But in order for us to be able to understand the entire word tithe, you have to go into every section what was established by faith, and the dispensation of the law, they also adopted it. And so I told you something, that what a tithe, a principle established by an act of faith or by an act of the law. And then you said an act of faith. Why? Because the time of the establishment of tithe, which is the foundational scripture that establishes tithe, was not an act of the law, but it was an act of faith. And I ask a question, that can an act of faith be annulled by an act of the law? And he said no, because the law people also practice it. Now, what is by faith is by grace. If it is by faith, then it has to be grace. So, grace cannot annul the act of faith. Grace is by faith. So, faith started. And the law came. And then grace by faith has come. Because in the past, the faith they had was also subject in hope. And the Bible says that they all were pursuing for the promise, but they did not. They saw the promise from far, so they could not see the promise. So they hoped to see the promise after the resurrection. So they died in hope, waiting for a better resurrection. And then grace came. And grace also came by faith. That means the same establishment of faith. Grace came through that. So when grace has come and is instituted, grace is using faith to become relevant. So you are saved by grace through faith. You continue in the faith by faith. When I use the faith here, it means that your assignment as a child of God, a Christian. Okay? So the grace cannot annul an establishment of faith. It cannot. That, like prayer, under the old covenant, they prayed. Under the law, they prayed. Under grace, we are praying. Can therefore the people of grace say that because prayer was under law, we will have to annul prayer? No, it will not happen. In fact, even in prayer, under grace, we've inculcated all the prayers they were making under the law. Just that what they were adding to the prayer, now we have the better one. And the better one sits in heaven on the throne of God. They had to add sacrifices, sin sacrifices,
trespass sacrifices. Now we don't need all of that because the sacrifices of that is our thanksgiving and praise unto the one who has achieved that sacrifice for us. Because he did that sacrifice once and for all. Once and for all. We don't need to do that particular sin sacrifice, trespass sacrifice anymore. So how do you attend to that level? He's already done it. You give thanks and you are secured. You give thanks unto him for the one who laid down his life as a sacrificial lamb. That's what it means. So the prayer change here is that you connect to the one who sits upon the throne in thanksgiving to the sacrifice he's made for you. So he said, enter into his gate with thanksgiving. Into his gate, the council of rule where decisions are made, whether to prosper you or not to prosper you, that is the decision. But thank God, the decision has already been made, it's finalized, that he has prospered you. You didn't say amen. I said the decision is what? Final. As far as the throne of God is concerned, he has prospered you. So he said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Obtain mercy. So that mercy that you have obtained will help you to find grace in the time of need. And this particular time of need is time specific. That means if you need anything upon the earth realm to be able to move you within your assignment, you come boldly to the throne of grace, acquire mercy, and it shall happen. So we should be learning how to be acquiring and obtaining mercies so that graces will abound. That's what it means. Are you hearing my point, somebody? Yes. So that people will understand it. Jesus said, I did not come to take anything. I came to fulfill what was written about me. Because the scriptures cannot be broken. There have been scriptures written about us. We have come to fulfill. It can't be broken. That is what it means. So understand the foundation. If it is wrong, you get everything wrong. You can't go into the biblical account and say that the foundational account is not good. No. You need the basis. That is prayer. It's as principle as tithing, as principle as alms, as principle as sowing, as principle, do you understand? As sacrifice. That is it. They are principles of God. They are principles of the kingdom. It's just like a nation has withholding tax, VAT, SNET, income tax. These are all different kinds of what? Principles. And so when you do them, you become more or less like an abiding citizen, a faithful citizen. If you have to do your national service. Otherwise, if there is a position in a country and you are supposed to occupy that position, because you did not do it, you will not be able to what? Qualify for that. Are we together here? Yes. Because you have served your nation. That is what the principle of the nation is about. The same way in our citizen, our kingdom, we are citizens of the kingdom. Everything is about Jesus, but Jesus has principles, precepts, where we are supposed to do the word. So you that you are part of the people cannot, as a servant, cannot come and annul anything. You cannot. It is codified in the word of God. And you are finding ways and means to put it out because you do not know and you have not asked the Lord. Kebo Shahaya. Because when many a times people tend to support, he says, okay, because he wants people to pray, that's why he's teaching it. Okay, then, okay, why do we teach about prayer? Because we want people to pray. Why? Because you think that prayer benefits you, but tithe benefits another person. That's where you go wrong. Because tithe will benefit you than the person receiving it. Because the word of our Lord is saying that it is more blessed to give than to what? Receive. So anyone who is a giver must be more blessed than the one who receives. I'm telling you that. I have raised sons who are richer than myself in terms of substance. I just want you to understand that. The one who receives, especially the people who are the clergies, they say that we want to receive, so we will not give. The Bible says it is more blessed than to give than to receive. So if you receive and you don't give, because you want to hold it up, you will not be blessed. It's a principle of God, and you cannot skip. You cannot manipulate it. You can do nothing about it. Get closer to men of God and ask them. You get closer and ask them. You see, sometimes you will just be there and watch somebody and say, ah, the way he's blessed, it means that, you know, like he's doing something, like, you know. That is why people have resorted to selling. And at the end of the day, they will sell, and their end. Very few times, you see that the end is miserable. You check around yourself. There's no foundation. They concord something, say, oh, God has blessed you, go come and buy. So the merchandising, then they buy cars, they buy. It is not the basis of wealth, because it's not in them. There's no power. So the movement, small space, a few years to come, 10 years, then everything is gone. Haven't you seen some around us? Plenty. You can name them plenty. There are people who have gotten names, and we call, they were popular than presidents in a country. But there was no foundation. So the element that tries your things will come and try everything several times, and they couldn't stand. And people have not learned from that. The blessing of the Lord is not about only about money. It's about his blessing power. That power that what? That brings forth these things. So you ought to go for the power. Thank you, Jesus. Are you hearing me? Thank you, Jesus. If you understand, just lift up your right hand and say, Father, I thank you for understanding. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. So now, I told you we'll go into the prophetic books. And so we read the book of Malachi, right? There is a blessing that we needed to read. This time around, I want you to concentrate on the 10 to 12 verse. Just read through. Because we go to the devourer and I explain. So I want to talk about the 12 verse, okay? Yes, let's go ahead quickly.
Malachi chapter 3 from verse 10 through 12.
Yes.
Bring all the tithe into the storehouse.
So it's like a command. Bring all the tithe, the payment of 10 part, into the storehouse. So tithe actually means 10 part. You cannot take 6 part and say, I'm representing it to be tithe. It's not. You may give it, but it may be rejected. You may give it, but it will be rejected. But you, because it's a spiritual thing, the angel rejecting it, you will not see it. That is the reason why there will not be any blessing. So we meet people who say, you know, and a lot of people have come to Apostle. Apostle has said, I have paid my tithe. Apostle sent me the name. But this person is suffering. And he's been doing all that. Then I will ask Apostle. He said he's been doing all that. Are you sure? Ask him again. What kind of tithe was he paying? What kind of... Then you ask him, and they will now come and tell Apostle, yes, it's true. I wasn't... But you told him that I've been doing all that. So if I wasn't a prophet to hear from God, you would have come to deceive us. Then I will go to God boldly and say, God, he's been doing all that. John, were you there? The guy is lying. So you come to God with humility. As a human being, you want, as a man, you want a man to know that you are right. So that he can use his own power to go and draw things from God. No. If you are not humble and you are not merciful, when he gets to God, God will tell him, away! Read the Bible. Moses went to God. God told him, away! Don't come to me with this discussion anymore. So God can rebuke you. Go! Because the guy lied. So he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You need to be very truthful and humble. Why do you want to hide? Why do you want to hide your mistakes? No. The Bible says, he that speaks about them and forsake them shall be prosperous. He that covers them shall not be prosperous. Because as a spirit being living in a human body, you will have a lot of mistakes on earth. But the one who recognizes that this is a clear mistake, an error, a sin, I committed it. You are the one that receives forgiveness. Forgiveness today is received. It's received because he's already done it. It's there in heaven. It's like your father who is rich. Whatever he gives you, you receive it. Because the money there, he has it. So it's the same way God has the abundance of mercy. So he has mercy to forgive. So he said, take it, you take it and receive it. So forgiveness is received. It's not like you ask for it and he's going to manifest it again. No, he's already done it. So you don't ask for it, you receive it. How do you receive? You are humble to confess and forsake. You receive forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. All, not one. All. Sometimes a lot of people think they are greater sins than others. No. Telling a lie is as a great sin as killing a human being. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go at Apostle Calebo Sambehis. So bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And what?
And try me now in this.
So the reason, he told you the reason why you are bringing the tithe is not for the pastor to grow lame. He said it's for him to eat it. And I'm going to show you the reason. So bring all the tithe into the storehouse. This is God saying. And when you check that word, it is the prophet's word that is quoted. That means God was the one speaking and he quoted from God. Now the Bible said the word of the Lord cannot be broken. So if it was a prophet who prophesied it, like the prophet who prophesied the end time, we believe that one is from the prophet. So we go to infer from Daniel, we go to infer from Jeremiah, we go to infer from Isaiah, and we say this is eschatology. This is the word of the Lord. It can't be broken. The same word of the Lord spoke to Malachi. Or is it because of the difference of the names? Oh, Malachi is a minor prophet. And the basis of minor and major is not from the spirit. The basis of minor major prophet is when they look at the books written, then they say you are major. When they look at the volume of the books written, they say you are minor. But the Bible says there are prophets who had a lot of revelation. They could not even be written. And there are a lot of prophets who spoke, but it was not canon. It's not part of this. So in Israel, they have a book that has all the prophets. They even call it prophets. So you see, when Jesus came, they hadn't done this. So they had the law, the Torah, only the law. The law was only the law of Moses. All the stories of Abraham, Genesis, and all that, they had them together as one too. It was different. They had books about the prophets. All the prophets who prophesied, and they wrote them. They have all of them. That is why they have a book, Apocrypha. Who knows about that book? Now, it was also there where the angel, you know, there is where you see angels like Uriah, Raphael, those things. It's not in the Bible. But it's there. Enoch is not in the Bible. But there is a story in the Bible that mentions Enoch. So the reason why they could not add some of them to this one was not because it was not the word of God enough, but they thought that some of them were too extreme. They could not add it because the center was not Christ. Maybe the prophecies were about certain generations and all that. So they couldn't. But when they add it today, we could tell you that this one was talking about Christ, but you don't know about it. Even they have omitted some of the portions of the Bible, and you can ask the spirit man when you get to heaven. You see that there are certain people in the end time, their ministries were codified in some of the books. They omitted them. Even in Isaiah, Jeremiah, it's not everything that is there. If you like pray, let Jeremiah visit you and ask him questions. He will tell you some of the things he wrote that is not here. But what is here is enough for you to achieve something greater. It's enough. Even if what is here, we have not even gotten time to read about it. The Bible says Jesus did a lot of things. Said a lot of things. If he had been written, the world cannot contain the volumes. That means that you'll be able to codify them, but you cannot read about all of them because they are a lot. They can't contain. That means some of the things Jesus did was so wild that nobody they will say, this one there we can't contain because we are men of the flesh. Spirit is spirit. Spirit give birth to spirit. Flesh give birth to flesh. Unless you cross carpets. That means you receive Christ and you become spirit. And your mindset is flesh unless you renew it fully to become spirit. That's what the Bible says. So when you ask men of God, they know a lot of things. Some of them know a lot of things. But they know that it's not relevant for today's people. So they don't bore you with them. But it's there. So you see Christians say Raphael and it's part of theology. Where is it? You see them say, the angel what? Uriel. Where is Uriel's name in the Bible? The only Uriel in the Bible was killed by David. He ordered them to kill him. Shadabokosiyada. So hear this word. But this one he says, and I will. The prophet could not have said, I will, because the prophet doesn't have power to say, I by myself will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He's dead and gone. Where is he to rebuke? The one who lives forever. He's the one who can rebuke the devourer. So he said, I will. And this is the word of God. It cannot be broken. Then he said, no, you can't do it because you're under grace. It's the word of the Lord. Why don't you kill and say, I am under grace? In grace, under grace, did they give you any commandment that you shall not kill? Please, open unto me. Under grace, where is the scripture that says you shall not kill? So Christians can be killing because once we have grace, we are done. But Paul said, shall we live in sin so grace will abound? Certainly no. But in the dispensation of grace, there was no word saying that you shall not kill. So does that mean that under grace you can kill and go scot-free? That's what I want to ask. So you see, when you are teaching something, you need to give room for questions. You need to ask yourself a lot of questions. Be in the position of the minds of the people so you can address them by the Spirit. It's not teaching now, that's not how the thing is. God has opened people's minds that they can ask you questions. They're new legitimate questions. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking questions. How can you see the book of Malachi and it is quoted and God is the one talking and says, will a man rob God as you have robbed me? And the Bible said the scripture cannot be broken. And the scripture is the utterance, the dabas of God. When we say that dabas, the speakings of God. And this one is one of the speakings of God. How can it be broken? Now, but your mindset is that tithe blesses somebody, but it doesn't bless you. But God says no. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And the reason why you are bringing the tithe is because my priest and my Levite must eat. Who are the priests and the Levites? Under the dispensation of grace, are there still priests? Are there still Levites? It is up to study and know. That is where we are going to go. Thank you, Mahazendo Kushahatakas. Bless the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Why didn't Jesus say, because I am of grace, John the Baptist is the last prophet of the Old Testament and the one who starts the New Testament covenant because he ushers in the New Testament. That means he brings, he's the one that allows the New Testament to come. He's the one that allows. Because Jesus said, the statement of Jesus said, it behoves us to fulfill all righteousness. So you and myself, us. He never placed John the Baptist outside of him. It behoves us to fulfill all righteousness. It was necessary for him to be born and fulfill that righteousness. Now, what kind of righteousness was that? That means it was already there. But it is playing out in their time. But what are the all righteousness he's talking about? It is up to us for us to find out. Thank you, Jesus. So why would Jesus not say, I will not allow you to baptize me? He didn't say that. And why would Jesus not say, you, because you know your father is a priest and it was the Old Testament. Now I've established New Testament. Your father is a priest. You are also a prophet and a priest. I will not allow you to baptize me. I need someone in the New Testament. So Jesus must now preach to Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter and the rest. And then they baptize the Lord. Understand what ushered us into this. Thank you, Lord. I'm asking very vital questions. It's like when you gave birth to two children before you became a Christian. So when you became a Christian, your two other children that you gave birth to before you came to be a Christian and gave birth to another two, because you did before them, then these people cannot be Christians. Let me ask questions. Last night we were asking a lot of questions. You say that, and a lot of people say, okay, the rapture has to happen and the church of Jesus Christ, which is the Gentile church, has to go. It is the Israelites who are going to be here. Okay, so the Israelites are going to be here, and after Jesus has married, because they are not part of the church. The reason they give is that Israelites are not part of the church. Oh, okay. So, when Jesus has married the church, the bride, and then he will come here again and then take them to where? And what are they going to do? Are they going to be slaves of the kingdom? Or they are going to be special people about the church? See, they are not wives. Who are they then? Now, let me shock you something. Who started the church? Who started the church? Jesus. The church came from him. But who are the pioneers of the church? The pioneers of the church are not part of the church. When you read the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, the Bible says, the verse number 19, the Bible says that Jesus is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Now, having been built upon him, Jesus, the apostles and the prophets are the ones who are building upon the cornerstone. What are they building? The church. And who are the apostles? All of them are Israelites. The Gentile grandfather is not there. In fact, they were the ones who were told, go into all the world, and then what? Bring the gospel to everywhere. How can they start it, and they are not part of it? And their children are not part of it? So you are telling me that Benihi, such as Benihi is an Israelite, when Jesus is rapturing people, he will not be part. He will stay here. So then they will say, oh, that one he will go because he believes in Jesus. There are many of them to believe in Jesus. You don't understand the scripture, that's why. Jesus said, like the apostles, he says, you do not understand the scriptures. That is why we have this confusion. So there are legitimate questions I can ask you. And then you go left and right. And each question you try to answer brings another question. You don't understand it. If the Gentile church are not part of the tribes, they are not part of the kingdom. This is a very bold statement. If the Gentile church, the saints of God, whom emanated from the Gentile world, are not adopted into any tribe of the 12, they are not part of the kingdom. And that is the reason why all Gentile church, wherever you are, India, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Ghana, Africa, anywhere, you are a Jewish, a spiritual Jewish. Are you hearing my point, somebody? It's in the word. That is what the Bible says. We call him Abba Father. Why? He adopted the Gentile church. So if you believe, you have become not just a physical Jewish, but a spiritual one. Do you know why? Like Jesus. Jesus doesn't have any connection to the blood of Abraham. But Jesus, according to the earthly principle, was adopted by Abraham to be son. So he's the son of David. We too, the Gentiles, are not physically connected to Abraham. But spiritually, the Bible said the seed is the one that accounts for the people, the citizens who are part. So if you are in the seed, then you are counted as Abraham's children. So those who are blessed with believing what? Abraham. So those who are of faith are blessed in believing what? Abraham. So the faith people are the real children. God was looking for godly offspring. And the godly offspring, it takes faith to become godly offspring. So you are the real offspring of God. Not somebody who physically has been born by Abraham, yet doesn't believe in Christ. That's the difference. So what takes you there is faith, not law. Am I explaining something to somebody? This is too big for religious Christians. You know the reason why God chose the people of Israel? They were not the better people who... When you read the scripture, it says, there were mightier nations. Nations that were mightier than you. That were more blessed than you. That were more strong than you. That were more beautiful than you. You were the weakest of all nations. But because I have loved you, and also because I promised your fathers. So the prime focus of God is because he loved them. What did the Lord God say about us? He said, for God so loved the world. That's what has confused people. That he gave his only begotten son. So someone asked me a question. But what about that scripture that God so loved the world? Why would he destroy the world he has loved? You didn't understand. He gave a parable and said, Jesus gave a parable to explain. He said God saw something like a treasure. It was hid in the field of the world. And then the treasure, he loved the treasure. In order for him to get the treasure, there was the owner of the land. So he had to go to the owner and tell the owner that I'm buying the whole field. If he goes to the owner and says there is a treasure in the field, the owner will say, I'm not selling. So Satan inspired the people to kill Jesus without knowing that Jesus afterwards will have the treasures to himself. So if I'm lifted, I will draw all men to myself. But all men that he put there, why has he did the all men? It's according as they believe. So there's a standard of measurement. If you believe, then you are being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise that draws you from the world to the Father. Jesus said, if the Father doesn't draw you to me, you cannot come to me.
We trust you've enjoyed today's broadcast. For more information, visit www.johnanochiministries.org, www.worldwideworldministries.org, or call 0302-507-154 or 0540-996-670. This broadcast is made possible by partners of John Anoche Ministries.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.